Joining us to talk further about the FOIA exemptions for the governor and the legislators is John Lindstrom. He's publisher of the Gongwer News Service, which keeps tabs on what's happening at the Capitol. You just heard former Attorney General Frank Kelly say he didn't like it, but his 1986 opinion clarified the law. Not only was the governor and the lieutenant governor exempt from the Freedom of Information Act, but the legislators were as well. What does this mean for how well people are informed about state government actions in Michigan?
I think anybody is always a little bit more careful about what they do when they think that somebody's watching them. Not wanting to ascribe bad motivations, but clearly when you think you have something of a free pass in terms of materials getting out to the public, then you clearly fear you have a freer hand in doing certain things. As I've said often, free speech is often more praised than it is practiced or protected, and a lot of people don't want to give out information to the public. They want to be able to make decisions on their own, and that is a common activity, both privately and publicly.
As reporters have reviewed the emails that were voluntarily released by the governor's office, we've seen a number of references that indicate the message is exempt from FOIA. That means the concerns were circulated in the governor's office, but never actually made it to the agencies that could actually do something to fix the problems with the water in Flint. What's it say about the value of secrecy to the governor's staff and perhaps the unintended consequences to people because the agencies don't hear about these concerns?
Well, it was fascinating to see some of these things, especially at one point where they were setting up conference calls with the idea that people would talk amongst themselves and not have anything committed to a document form necessarily that could, since you were dealing with department people, could be subject to FOIA. An official wants as much as possible a free hand to move, a free hand to act, and that would necessarily imply that they don't necessarily want somebody watching over their shoulder, as we just talked about. So this was important from that standpoint. Plus, you can't be absolutely certain because we can't connect all the dots at this point. But you do have to wonder if there was concern about possible litigation and the effect of that and not providing an evidence trail. This crisis is going to go on for a while, and there are going to be lots of ins and outs about how things are going to be decided. When you're trying to act and you're trying to act as quickly as you can, which is something everybody wants, they want the state to move fast on resolving the Flint water crisis. You want to be able to do that if you're looking at it from the standpoint of being in the executive branch or even being in the legislative branch. You want to be able to do that with as little impediment as possible, and you could see letting the public in on the discussion as an impediment.
That's that pesky citizen input all the time, though.
When you bring in more voices, more opinions, more thoughts, it inevitably delays actions. Those could be very good opinions and very good thoughts that need consideration.
At the same time, you could argue that the opinions that were being expressed in the governor's office and kept secret in the governor's office might have helped prompt the agencies like the DHHS and the DEQ to do something more if they knew about those concerns, but they didn't, just to avoid FOIA. You know, Mr. Kelly seemed to suggest the current attorney general staff might have had more of a significant role to play than this investigation after the fact. Would the ability to use the Freedom of Information Act to obtain documents from the governor's office have made a difference or not as far as the AG is concerned?
It's hard to say because we're obviously dealing with something that's speculation. All of this has been sort of a speculative conversation, and that really would be a speculative matter. I mean, you know, typically when the AG is looking into documents, it's not a good thing. It's usually something you don't want to have happen. But again, going back to the original point, any time that you feel like you've got an extra set of eyes on you, that you feel you may be judged more critically or thoroughly by having other people brought into the conversation, either directly or indirectly, you are bound to take more things into consideration when you make the decisions you're going to make. So if the Attorney General's office had access to documents, which in theory everyone would have had access to documents, then you might have seen other steps taken. You might have seen people stress more intently that certain things be done when the water systems were switched, like making sure that anti-corrosives were added to the treatment plant when they were supposed to have been added.
I want to ask you about the legislators who are also exempt. Those who oppose expanding FOIA powers to the legislature say they don't want constituents' concerns to be open to public examination. In other words, Joe Smith can send me a letter and it doesn't have to be concerned that it's going to be available to the public. But if anyone's asking for assistance or favor from elected officials, wouldn't that be the purpose of the Freedom of Information Act as it's applied in most states?
Well, it can be, yeah. I mean, there are certain areas where it's not a good idea to necessarily let the public in to review what's going on. And there's certainly certain things which should remain confidential. I mean, nobody wants to have their Social Security number released to the public, for example. If there was legitimate concern about protecting privacy, you could put in some exceptions. One thing that would be probably helpful to know, however, is since we see people always out looking for campaign contributions, it's very expensive to run for office these days, and it is sort of a natural fact that, you know, the paying customers get, you know, a little bit more consideration. You know, it might be nice to know, okay, who contacted this legislator about a particular issue, and what is it they said, and is there a way of drawing a connection between that and campaign contributions or other issues? You know, all of these laws, by and large, came into effect after Watergate in the 70s. Open meetings, FOIA, some of the states were extraordinarily broad. I mean, Florida had at the time the broadest FOIA of all, and it's been carved back quite a bit. You know, as people have gotten away from Watergate, as they've gotten away from the idea of government conspiracies in large measure, we've seen governments try to make things more convenient for themselves. What we've seen now with the Flint water situation certainly puts a big impetus on making changes to FOIA. I wouldn't put a big bet on any major changes happening to FOIA anytime soon. Not under the current political structure, anyway.
That's John Lindstrom. He's the publisher of Gongwer News Service. John, thanks very much for talking with us.
Always happy to.